The Federal Reserve has had to bring interest rates to emergency lows several times over the last 20 years. First, during the dot-com crash after 9/11, in the wake of the Great Recession, and now due to the pandemic. While low rates have been a boon for companies and investors, stocks and real estate are at all-time highs. They have walloped millions of people who have put money into traditional savings accounts. Robin Farzad is here to explain why. He's host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hi, Robin.
How are you?
I'm well. Keeping interest rates so low has been great for investors, but it's also created this forgotten class of savers. Robin, explain why.
Yeah, it's really been an afterthought, I think, for the better part of 20 years. The central bank, time and again, has been all about slashing interest rates to induce spending and investment. That's helped stocks, it's helped real estate, all manner of risk assets, and the Fed is even buying bonds to further keep its thumb on the scale. But that's cold comfort for those who've seen even ever smaller yields on the cash that they've worked hard to save. I mean, whether you're talking savings accounts, CDs, money market funds, or even shorter treasuries that are yielding next to nil. And it's twice the insult, say, if you were saving for a house or some other asset that's no longer in your window of affordability.
So beyond the past 20 years or so, are there any other times in history that have been this bad for savers?
I mean, when you have a deep recession or depression, I mean, there's a prolonged period of low interest rates in the modern Federal Reserve period of the past 100 years or so. I'd say, rates are slashed to inflate the economy. It's just this rolling bubble period of the past two decades that particularly grabs my eyes. I will say also that the period of inflation in the 70s and 80s saw yields that were, on the face of it, they were very fat. I remember going with my dad to Savings of America in North Miami 40 years ago. They were giving us toasters and blenders, but it was a fool's errand because in real terms, when you account for the burn of inflation, we weren't really clearing anything after the bank was paying us 12 or 13%. The Federal Reserve, indeed, back then had to hike to the high teens to attempt to sop excess cash from the economy. Now it is at zero.
Well, and what does this mean for the wealth gap in this country, Robin? And have these low rates worsened that divide?
Shed a tear for the elderly, those on fixed incomes, the disabled, those who haven't been able to partake in, say, stock, real estate, cryptomania, and are going to emerge from this crisis worse off relatively than those with risk assets. We do know that U.S. households now have $1.9 trillion in excess savings, money socked away above what they normally would have had. And banks don't seem to really want that cash. It's, you know, the Fed and the system are trying to force risk-taking. And people are going to be out there hunting for yield. And I worry that those out of desperation that are trying to manufacture some sort of yield that will give them a standard of living are going to get hurt.
Well, the other issue, of course, is inflation, which has been rising over the past few months as the economy rapidly picks up again. And Americans are about to start spending all that money they saved over the pandemic, Robin. So what can we do to protect our savings as inflation rises?
Jane, this has always been such a Rorschach on Wall Street. Depends on who you ask. There are Treasury inflation-protected securities for the wonks out there if you want to ratchet up your return with inflation. But there are other schools of thought that believe you should delve into precious metals, commodities such as oil, farmland, timber, even real estate and stocks hedge against inflation, even though they are very richly valued right now. And let's not even get into crypto. That's a whole new, bizarre new world. I think, you know, a painful scenario will ensue if someone out there right now accepts, say, 1.5 points of yield on a 10-year treasury, and they end up having buyer's remorse if inflation shoots well above that while they have to hold for 9 or 10 years. This is the problem out there. A lot of people who are pursuing risk assets don't realize the risk of inflation or the risk of a bubble.
Well, banks often require customers to have a minimum amount of money in a savings account. What's your advice? Should we just keep the minimum in that account and put the rest of our money elsewhere? What do you say?
It's so hard to give one-size-fits-all advice for this because you do hear a lot of traders that say cash is trash, and that's a privileged thing to be able to say because you're assuming that someone has more cash stashed away and they can go out and take a flyer on stocks and maybe see stocks fall 10, 20, 30%. Real estate, that they're liquid enough to go out there and pay this much down and get a mortgage. In the end, cash is cash. And it's the only thing that you're going to truly have in an emergency scenario. And you have to hold your nose and you have to bite the bullet. and keep it in an account. Right now, the banks aren't going to do you any favors to try to attract your cash. But like I say, it's the coldest of comforts, and to see all this fear of missing out while risk assets are going up. But there inevitably has to be some sort of judgment day for this. There has to be some sort of vindication for doing your best, being on your best behavior, and holding cash despite the pain of doing so.
That's Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Robin, thank you so much.
My pleasure.